Got several readings for us this morning that I'd like to move through. As I said, from the book of Jeremiah, 1 Thessalonians, and from Luke, the page numbers are in your bulletin if you'd like to follow along. Before we hear the word read and proclaimed, let us go to God in prayer. Together. God, our salvation, there is wisdom, peace, and joy for those who keep your word. By the power of your Holy Spirit, lead us in your truth and teach us to do your will. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. From Jeremiah. Chapter 33, verses 14 through 16. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the gracious promise that I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. And from 1 Thessalonians in chapter 3, 9 through 13, Timothy's encouraging report. Let us listen to that. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our Lord because of you? Night and day we pray earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. And finally, our gospel lesson. This is from the 21st chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Verses 25 through 36. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Then I tell you the truth. This generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch. and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God indeed. The days are surely coming. They are surely coming. When struggling with texts about heaven and earth shaking, the sun going dark, and the stars losing their light, the days are coming when texts like these just can't be avoided. It's a tough week. Tough words. Even as Christmas lights go up in our sanctuaries or in our homes and our stores, we who worship Jesus must talk about the foreboding darkness found in this text this morning, this end of times text, appointed for Advent. People will faint from fear, the writer of the Gospel of Luke tells us. What really is the point of this genre in this biblical literature? What are these texts describing? The end of things evoke in people of faith. Should we faint with fear or raise our heads and straighten our posture, waiting the redemption for what is near? What's our body language? I ask myself. What's our body language? Right? What are we doing physically when we hear these words today? Luke's gospel instructs us and says, be awake, be alert, stand watch, be on guard. Our stance, not one of fear, but of attentive watchfulness, heightened awareness, prepared readiness to see and meet the Lord. Now, a cursory read of Jeremiah and 1 Thessalonians and Luke this first Sunday of Advent, well, it left me scratching my head. These end of times, these eschatological times, these passages, roaring seas and nations confused, the Son of Man coming on a cloud, and powers of heaven and earth be shaken. And pray to have the strength to escape these things. I kept it coming back to this question of why do contemporary Christians, what do we need to hear about these stories? What do we need to hear? What do I need to hear about these stories? So I read those passages again with that question in mind. And with a more specific question in mind, why do I need to hear these stories? And through that listening, a few things emerged. First, from Jeremiah, the days surely are coming when God will fulfill the promise. A righteous branch will spring up for David. Justice and righteousness will be executed in the land. Judah will be saved. Jerusalem will live in safety. And it's as if the words just jumped off the page. Righteousness, justice, and safety. And then 1 Thessalonians, that the oldest book in the New Testament. So it's so pastoral. It's so practical. How can we thank God enough for you, the joy we feel because of you? We pray earnestly to see you. See your face. See you face to face. May God direct you. May you increase and bound in love. Strengthen your hearts in holiness so that you may be blameless before God. And when Christ comes, it's gratitude and joy. love, and holiness. These are the bonds of Christian community, recognized as precious and life-giving. There's no fear or foreboding here, right? There's only hope. Hope for reunion with God and one another. And finally, the Gospel of Luke in its three parts this week, the detailing of signs, Jesus' return, a parable of the fig tree, and the exhortation to be watchful. I thought about that, Eric, with stand and watch on the quarterdeck. You know? Yeah. Son of Man's coming. The captain's coming. What do I need to hear from here? What are those in the midst of our tumultuous world, our personal confusion, what do we need to hear? So I want to talk to you a little bit about something this morning, something a little bit different. Body language. How did we come into church today? How did we come into church today? How was our mind, our body, our hearts? I want you to think about that and take kind of a personal self-inventory of ourselves and how we came into service today to hear the word read, proclaimed, sung, and prayed. Right? How did we come in? And how are we right now? Right now. We are all hearing through me, thank God, through ourselves, the word read and proclaimed and sung and prayed. How are we presenting ourselves before God? What's our body language say? Right? I talked about that to the kids. Now that's equally important for us and how we do that. How do we do that? Right? Are we small? I mean, think about it. How's your posture? Sit up straight, Edward. Right? Pay attention. Focus. Right? You're probably getting a nudge by somebody that's sitting next to you, right? Yeah. How are we presenting ourselves? How are we mentally and spiritually prepared ourselves to come this morning to hear that? And what do these, in the midst of this, all this anxiety and tumultuous happenings in our world? And I don't mean things like, you know, Europe or Australia or South America or here. I mean our world. What happened 15 minutes before you got to service? What happened on the drive in? Where was your mind, your heart, your body, physically, mentally, spiritually, right? In preparation for hearing the word and how we present ourselves. I think we present ourselves, we approach God not in the smallness of ourselves, but in the largeness of trying to understand what it is that God intended for us. We approach this knowing that redemption draws us near. New life is coming. I mean, can't you see? Can't you see the leaves that are coming out and beginning to emerge from this oh-so-dead stump? Right? The fig tree. That righteous branch is growing. God's glorious and just rule that brings salvation and safety is on the horizon. Don't lose heart, the teacher says. Don't lose heart. Don't get lost in distractions. Don't numb yourselves or believe that in the falsehood that this is a mean and nasty world. All that God created and called good will not be abandoned. What do I need to hear from Jeremiah and Paul and the Gospel of Luke to take me into the next week? I think we need a word of hope. We need a word of hope. I need faith that the reassurance of things not yet seen. I need to hear justice and safety and love and joy, new life and the nearness of God to bolster my faith. I don't need to hear about fear and foreboding and so much as a longing for a reunion between God and all creation. Upon closer reading, these texts engender not trembling in the face of destruction, but excitement. Excitement at the promise of a glorious new life that is restored and reconciled within this community, our community. And we can only do that by our body language. We present ourselves to the one that finds us faultless before the throne. Christian, end of times, this Advent season is about hope in God. God's glory, the new creation of the world, the history of human beings in earth, the resurrection and the eternal life of human people. This Advent season of 2018, that's what I need to hear. I need to hear your stories of hope. Hope in God for all things and in all people. In all creation. So this Advent, I invite you to share your stories. Share them with me. Share them with each other. Share those stories and hope in God that are made evident in small acts of kindness. Small acts of kindness and examples of human connection. Slivers of reconciliation among people. Among ourselves and among nations, and tiny hints of green sprouting from branches that represent justice and righteousness and safety and salvation and joy and hope and love. What gives you hope? What gives you hope in this season of anticipation? I ask you, how are you presenting yourself before God and others as you live out the gospel and what the gospel asks of us? Friends, we have a choice. We have a choice to live in the largeness of what God calls us to do. We have a choice to present ourselves in the fullness of God's gift. So let us keep awake and alert. And stand watch, ready. And let us stay focused on what God is calling us to do in these absolutely wonderful times of waiting. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen.